Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us on another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. This is Kwajalein, and here's my handsome husband.
Hello, I'm Kenny. How y'all doing?
Hey, and thank you for joining us on another episode on tonight, Friday, March the 17th, 2017, at 8 p.m. Eastern. Tonight we have our Free Flow Friday here at Kenny and Kwajalein, Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. We discuss real issues that families of all races and ethnicities face. How can we deal with these issues as families, Christians, and as a society? So, again, thank you for joining us. If you're streaming and you would like to call in, please give us a call at 657-383-1571. Again, that is 657-383-1571. Tonight, before we get into our topic, I wanted to discuss something with my husband here that has been in the news. So there was an athlete. Have you heard about this? Okay. So there was an athlete that he posted the question, why do black athletes marry white women? And
we're not racist.
No, we're not racist, but let me finish. He posed the question. And so anyway, so another athlete pretty much, you know, came back and was just trying to say, you know, I guess that white women, we're not coachable, black women are not, and you know that this is why. Okay, so I'll read exactly what he said. The answer is, well, I can't read exactly because he has some cursing in there, but what he said is, the answer is simple, brother. Most of the sisters were raised in broken homes and they don't have proper guidance to how they should treat a man, so they mess up a lot in relationships. The biggest difference is a white woman knows her position and accepts her role as a woman and let her man lead. Black women believe it's 50-50 and you have to be uneducated to ever think such a thing. Black women are stubborn, closed-minded, and always want to argue and be the boss. Men don't like that. I'm not going to say that word. Especially if you're successful. Young black athletes are looking for a woman to submit, do their part, and they handle business. Men need peace of mind, and you don't get that with black women. So let me first say this. My husband and I, we don't care who you marry. If you love that person, you love them. It doesn't matter. We're not about race, whoever you love. If you love somebody that's of a different race, then you love that person, you know. So that's not even the point. Now, if that's who God has for you, and you know you guys love each other, that's what matters. But I did want to talk about this because this is a family show, and he's pretty much saying that we, as you know, that black women do not know their roles in the family, and then he's categorizing us all the same, you know, all of us the same. You know, pretty much we're all closed-minded. We all want to argue. We always want to be the boss. You know, now, sometimes we have strong personalities. We do, you know, I myself do. However, I think that oftentimes we're misrepresented, like the myth of the angry black woman. It's like people think that all black women are just angry, and all black women are not angry. Do you have angry black women? Of course you have angry black women. You have angry women, you know. But not all black women are angry. Do a lot of us come from broken homes? You know, a lot of black women come from broken homes. A lot of black women do come from broken homes. But then what is considered a broken home? You know, I know, of course, we know the traditional family. Again, this is a Christian show. So the traditional family is, you know, the husband, the wife, and the children. But even if you're raised in a single-parent home, does that necessarily mean that everything was just broken, you know? And so, I mean, this we could look at this like a whole bunch of ways. And then if that's the case, well, what about the men? You know, what about our black men? So I don't know. I'm just wondering, babe, what do you think? Well, let me open the line first, and then I want you to tell me what you think about that. Hey, Ms. Brenda, how you doing?
Hey, babe, how y'all doing?
We're doing good. Glad to have you on tonight.
Yes, I'm glad too, because when I heard y'all, I said, I know I'm going to get in this.
Oh, about the pastor, the topic.
Yeah.
Well, you know your line is open, so
right,
you know, feel free to say, you know, to come in. So what do you think,
okay,
Faye? What do you think?
First off, I think it's more about broken relationships than anything, because when you're dating, right, you're dating, of course, you know, you're trying to find that mate that completes you, so to speak, that you plan on marrying, regardless of race, you know, regardless of race, because me personally, if you love the one you're with, you know, whether she's Asian, he's Asian, black, Japanese, Chinese, you know, Hispanic, from the Latino descent, what have you, you know. If that's the one you love, love the one you with. But my problem is, I think that's a big myth, kind of like the unicorn, you know, where all women, all black women are just angry. No, I love my black woman. I love my black queen. And I'm not knocking any other woman and saying she's not a queen, you know, because men are out there and they're trying to find their woman to complete them, and women are trying to find their man to complete them. But just flat out say that, you know, black women are stubborn and they don't know their place and they always want to argue and they think they're the boss, and it's like an imbalance. No, it's not necessarily an imbalance. Now, are there some black women out there? Yes, there are some black women out there that like to argue, you know, and that's really, really all about partly it's parental guidance, but it does, and just the environment in which they're raised in, you know. But that's with any nationality. I mean, because, you know, for the longest of times, you know, people would say that they're angry black women, but they're really not a whole bunch of angry black women like people try to make it. Like this, like the black woman is just, she's just doomed to anger and evil, and she just just mean as all get out because it's not true. Now, I like the fact that my wife, you know, being African American, she does respect the fact that I'm the head of the household biblically, and she respects the fact that I am the father to our children. She does respect that. So, you know, there are times though where she may see that I might be taking it too far, or she might think that the punishment doesn't fit the action, right? And then she'll address that. But and she feels that the kids are being mistreated or something like that, yeah, she's gonna step in, and I expect for her to step in and say something about that. And me, you know, I wouldn't just want a woman that's just, yes, baby, whatever you want, you know. I like the fact that she stands up to me and she tells me, honey, I don't agree with that, and she speaks her mind. I mean, because then that gives me a balance, you know. It's my opinion versus her opinion, and then I can take the two options and put them together and figure some things out and say, okay, we're gonna roll with the one that fits and more suitable for the family. But no, I think this dude is just ignorant and stupid. I'm sorry. I think he's just ignorant and stupid, and he let the money go to his head, and he's thinking just like somebody that ain't never had nobody. That's what that sounds like to me. And yes, I did say ignorant and stupid.
Wow. Okay. I think that we are misrepresented a lot. And then he went on to say, let's just leave it as it is. The biggest problem with some women is that they can never take responsibilities for their actions. They hate to admit when they're wrong, and you can never get better at anything unless you can admit your fears and mistakes. That's anybody. How can I be a better football player if I'm not coachable? Black women are not coachable. Let's put it that way. I disagree. And I'm not just disagreeing because I am a black woman, but I know many other black women that are coachable, ones that are married, ones that are not married, that want to be married, you know, and they are coachable. So I do think that we have this wrong representation of black women. Now, of course, again, you know, like you said, Kenya, there are some black women that are angry, but again, as in any nationality, you have people that are angry, women, men, whatever, you know, you have people that are angry. So to just, you know, for him to just say what he said to make it seem like all black women are like this, and this is the reason why, you know, black athletes marry white women, it's not right. And then there are plenty of black athletes that have black women, you know. But again, you marry whoever your heart desires, who you love, that's who you marry. But I really wanted to bring that to the show. I really wanted to talk about that because it needs to be addressed. Now, do we have in our community, do we need to work on our families? We do. You know, we do. That's part of the reason why my husband and I started this show. Do we get the feedback that we desire? We don't get it, you know. But, you know, I thank God for friends and for supporters that keep encouraging us, because sometimes, you know, it does get, you know, you do feel like just giving up. But I thank God for the people that he's placed in our lives to keep, you know, encouraging us. Because it's needed. It's needed. And we do need help. However, even in that, we have a lot of strong families. And so we need to make sure that we address that as well. All of our families are not broken. Everybody is not in a single-parent home. But even in a single-parent home, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're broken. You know, you still have some very strong single parents. They raise wonderful kids. They raise successful kids. And so, you know, and then you have some two-parent families where the marriage is broken up. They're you know, they're fussing. There's domestic violence. Well, everybody's fuss. I don't mean that kind of way. But you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of violence. And so, you know, we really need to we need to have the correct representation of things. All black women are not stubborn. We're not all closed-minded. We don't always want to argue. You know, it's not that we don't know our place, whatever, you know, he considered our place is, and we're not all uncoached or not, you know, where we can't be coached. And so, you know, I don't know. Anyway, so I just wanted to bring that out. Hey, Kyra, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. How y'all doing?
Doing good. Doing
good.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling in on tonight.
Yes, I can't wait to get in on this. What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you 1 second, Ms. Welcome to the end, and I'll tell you what we were talking about. And Ms. Brenda came in on part of it too, so she didn't hear the beginning. Hey, Lily, how you doing?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you? Doing good. Doing good. It's good to have you guys on. Good to have you guys on. Before we get into the, what'd you say? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Can't miss the show.
Thank you so much. you know, before we were getting into the topic, I wanted to bring up something. I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but I'll just go over it real quick. You know, there was this athlete. He posted a question on his Instagram, and he said, "Why do black athletes marry white women?" So again, you know, Kenny and I, you marry whoever you want to marry. We support that. That's fine. He posed the question, and then this other athlete came back, and pretty much what he was trying to say. I don't know if you guys again have heard about this or not, but he was just saying that most of us are raised in broken homes. We don't have proper guidance. We don't know how to treat a man. We mess up a lot in situations. The biggest difference between us and white women is we don't we try to lead. We don't let our men lead. We believe that it's 50-50. We're stubborn, closed-minded. Always want to argue. We be the boss. You know, we don't submit and do our part. And pretty much men need a peace of mind. Then he went on to talk about how we're not coachable. We don't take responsibility for our actions. We hate to admit when we're wrong. We need to admit our fears and mistakes, and we're not coachable.
Wow. Oh, Lord.
And so does anybody want to comment on that before we?
Who is doll? Basically, they're saying they want to blow up doll. No mind. Is that what they're saying?
Right. Yes.
Because that's just what he said. You don't want anybody with a mind. You know, you don't want anybody to challenge you or tell you when you're wrong. You want somebody that's going to let you just go ahead and run all over them because you're famous or you have money and not speak up and basically be that partner that they're supposed to be and tell you when you're wrong. You want a dog. I'm not understanding. What do you want? And you know what? They're getting what they want. They want somebody who is not going to challenge them. But, you know, a partner is going to, if they love you, they're going to tell you when you're wrong. You know, you don't just let somebody walk in and do something wrong or go into a bad situation, you see it coming and you don't say anything, you know, they're going to turn around and blame you anyways. But, yeah, they can use every excuse that they want, but I guarantee you most of them were with a black woman when they didn't have the money and they needed somebody who was really going to hold them down or help them figure out how to get money and everything else. Then we're usable.
Right. Right.
But you have to go back to black families have always been separated, you know, and the women had to try to, you know, be strong, had to try to figure out how to do things. And for some women, it is a challenge to allow the man to be the head or to control all things. That is hard for some women. It is. But I wouldn't say all. And I think if you're being a good leader, most women who are used to even leading, they'll say, look, I'm happy for you to take the reins because I really don't want to anyways.
Yes.
I'm doing it because I have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, opinion.
True.
Man. I agree.
Well put.
Amen.
But this shows about the insecurities that he has about women. So that, and it also shows to me, just looking at the article, of what he thinks about the ladies in his family, i.e. his grandmothers, his aunts, his sisters,
mm-hmm.
his own mom,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? So if you're saying
right.
this, then who are you the product of? You know what I'm saying? So he was the product of an insecure mother, grandmother,
mm-hmm.
aunts
mm-hmm.
around him that just griped and bickered and just complained and just was downright just flat out just I'm in charge. He don't tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, I think when a woman and a man become one and he understands and respects her place as a mother and his helpmeet, and she understands his place as the head of the household and the provider
mm-hmm.
of the house, you know,
mm-hmm.
the earthly provider. I think that's wisdom,
mm-hmm.
if you ask me. I mean, it keeps down confusion, keeps down arguments. Hey, I ain't gonna step in your lane. You ain't gonna step in my lane. But both
mm-hmm.
of us in our roles and responsibilities in the marriage complement one another so that we can raise healthy, wholesome children
yeah.
with great relationships and rapport, and they can build rapport with other people. But when you have people like that, to me he's just plain ignorant. I mean, I can't believe he's doing that. I can't believe he would say that. But you know, when you're down and out, because you know, I can remember when I ain't have nothing. I didn't see there. I go. The Georgia just came out. That Megan just came out. See, when I didn't have anything. And
it's all right.
I remember taking my wife's trash out. It's all right, Miss Brenda.
You about to get me choked.
Well, hey, thank you. You know what I'm saying? You knew what I was saying, though. You
know? Yeah, I know.
But when I was taking out my wife's trash as the janitor, you know, and I met her, she loved me for who I was. There are some people, regardless of nationality or race, because this guy, again, once again, is ignorant. There are those women that are out there just to get you because of your prestige and your status. They ain't thinking nothing
mm-hmm.
about you. They just want to be able to get a little spot in the fortune and fame in the limelight.
Right.
And then when you
That's
ain't
right.
got nothing, they gone. They out of there. But then when you
that's
got a fine. Woman that's gonna hold you down, like Lily said, Lily, you should have went on here to sick. I heard you getting ready to say hold him down. You know what I'm saying? We would have got you, you know what I'm saying? We would have understood. But if she got a man that's gonna hold him down regardless of what he broke down and out and busted, and she's still gonna love him for who he is, that's the type of woman you want in your life, again, regardless of nationality.
That's right.
Well, can
I
tell
I
y'all a funny story?
Yes, ma'am.
It'll be short and sweet. I have my baby brother. He loves white women, and I'm not talking against white women. And his thing is, he don't admit this, but he feel like he can get somebody that he can run over and they do whatever he say because
mm-hmm.
he's just that kind of person, whether you black, white, blue, or pink, you know. He
yeah.
think he knows everything. Nobody have no sense but him, so... What happened in his marriage, he married this white lady, and this black guy didn't like him, so he decided he'd go after this white woman, right? So she made a mistake and messed up, and she had sex with this guy. So the guy got at this club, this has been some years ago, this guy got at this club, and he bragged about, yeah, man, I went to bed with his old lady. He think he got it going on, but I done been with that woman, you know. And it just devastated my brother. But I told him, I said, you know what? You made that choice. I say, and you always trying to dominate people because his first wife, I told her, I said, how in the world could you marry my brother? I couldn't marry him if he was the last man on this earth because he is the biggest fool I ever seen in my life, you know. But he tried to dominate people. And, you know, you can't treat a wife, they're your child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had to go. It was either his way or no way.
Mm-hmm.
His way or the highway. And, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
that sad. And, you know, like, our dad wasn't with us, but you don't even have to have a dad to be in a broken home because you can have a dad and he can still be doing stuff that's not pleasing to the marriage. And that's still a broken home.
Right.
Boys,
right.
Yes, it is.
That's right. You know,
that's
so
right.
It's really sad. You know, it's really sad. But I feel like this, you know, I'm 68 years old and I was going to be 69. If God gave me a man with polka dot, if I know he know that he loved the Lord and he loved me, I wouldn't care what color he was. And
that's
I could
right,
be in
right.
there, and I could be humble unto my husband, you know, because I wouldn't look at no color. But people need to get off of this mess, you know, and these athletes, they make me sick, some of
yeah.
them. You know, they go yeah. out, and a long time ago on Montel Williams' show, these white girls were on the show, and they said that their mothers taught them to find them a black athlete or a black man with a lot of money. So they could have somebody to take care of them and make sure they had a baby. They said that on TV, honey. That's been years ago. Y'all probably lived in, you know, y'all probably don't know. It's been a long time ago.
I remember that. And they told them, try to get twins.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They told them to make sure they have a baby so they'll be taken care of the rest of their life.
Wow.
I wouldn't even got on TV and acted like that.
No, that's right.
That's crazy. And it's people like that. Like, you know, it's an individual thing, and that's what we have to see. You know, people
right.
are individuals, and you have, you know, black women like myself, like
mm-hmm.
Kyra. You know, we're married mm-hmm. currently. And we allow our husbands to be the head of the house. They're the head of the house, and that's what we respect
mm-hmm.
them as. Not everybody mm-hmm. is this, you know, oh, I don't know my role, you know, whatever. But he didn't mention
mm-hmm.
the men knowing their role. Everybody
that's
wants
right.
to talk about the women knowing their role, but the men have a role first. Let's
right.
talk about
that's
that.
Right.
You know, like
first.
Lily said, if they're doing right, you don't have a problem with following them.
That's
and that's
right.
the truth.
That's right. That's right.
That's the truth.
That's the truth.
So,
if I could say this, excuse me, I was just wanting to say, you know, there are women of any color, you know,
mm-hmm.
who you know, has, you know, they have these issues, you know, some of these issues that he has listed or whatever. But the thing is, no one wakes up like this. No one is born like this. In other words, these are results of this behavior is actual residual, and it is actually a reaction to some
mm-hmm.
other type of behavior. So they are not waking up like, I'm going to be this way. I'm going to be mean today and mad today, and I'm getting ready to just to whatever. So when we do say things like this about people or particularly, you know, like women or whites or blacks or whatever,
mm-hmm.
one thing you have to keep in mind is, number one, something happened. It could have been learned. It could have been learned. It doesn't make it right. It could have been, you know, maybe they saw their mothers like this, but also maybe they saw their dads act or you know, in a particular way, or maybe they didn't have a dad. But what I'm saying is, no one is born like this. No one wakes up like this in the morning. Something
mm-hmm.
happened. And when you
mm-hmm.
speak off the cuff like that, you have absolutely no understanding of life. You ain't hardly went through anything yet. You ain't hardly, you ain't,
mm-hmm.
I don't care. What I mean
mm-hmm.
is, you ain't hardly went through anything yet, because there's no compassion in you for the own women in your own culture and race. You have no understanding.
That's right.
You have no understanding of what it is. It is tough. Black women are the most ignored. Okay, we're ignored, number one, we're women. So we're
mm-hmm.
we're below men in society. But then out of all the races, we are the most ignored. And so with that being said, you know, they say we're loud. We say that this and this and that. We want to be seen. We want to be heard, you know, and we may not be doing it correctly and all that. And we may not have the you know, some teaching, whatever, but all of us are not this way. And this is why the Bible says, you know, you teach the girls, men, old men, teach the boys, teach these young men. But when you come off the cuff and you say stuff like that, you have absolutely no understanding. Don't ask me why I'm angry. You don't want to really ask me, because if you ask me if I'm angry, you're going to get the truth, and then you're going to be looking in the mirror, because you're going to see yourself. Are you doing enough to help me in my situation, or whatever you say is wrong? you know. But okay, that's it. That's all I'm gonna say because I'm getting mad.
Girl, I know. I know. And you know, and because we have this stereotype, this is why I am like I am. I try to think before I say something. Nine times out of ten. Now, I'm not saying I don't ever speak out of anger because I'm human. But I guarantee nine times out of ten, what I say, I mean. I might come off feeling I need to work on my tone now. Nine times out of ten, what I say is what I mean. I give them thought. And I also speak from my heart. I speak from heart.
That's right.
Because they don't, because people, society don't expect us to do that.
They expect us to
just, you know, just run off at the mouth and do all of this and just, you know what I'm saying? And so I try to be the opposite. Now, if anybody gets real raw, it's my husband because we're married and there's just something about a man and a wife. You know, it's like your spouses can take you to different places that other people can't take you because of the intimacy, because of the, you know, the closeness. So, you know, I may flip a little more with him than I would with anybody else, only because there's a place in me that only he can touch, you know.
That's right.
But I try to be that example for my children. Like I said, I don't always make it. Sometimes I might show my little attitude, but that's not a black woman thing. Women have attitudes. Men have attitudes. People Yes, they do. My son has even, Jeremiah has even corrected me one time when, I said corrected because it was the truth. You know, he checked me one time in Walmart when I asked this lady for help. And, you know, she came off with an attitude. And I said, you know what, don't even worry about it. You know, I don't even want your help. And get saved and all, that's it. But it's the truth. I'm being real. It's a real show. This is what it is. Jeremiah said, Mom, it was like, Mama, that lady looked like she's tired. And, you know, I got two things out of that. First of all, I did go back and apologize to the lady, and he was right. The lady had worked two jobs, and she said she had been working 7 days straight. Number one.
Whoa.
Okay. He was correct. So I immediately accepted what he said because he was right. You know, that's one thing. When we're saved, y'all, we should have some conviction. If we don't have conviction, then we're in a bad place. That's number one. And so I immediately accepted what he said, but it also made me feel good about my parenting. And I'm going to tell you why. Because my son knew, for him to know, okay, Mom, you're doing too much right now, pretty much. That wasn't my norm. You know what I'm saying?
He knew that.
So for him, because if that was my norm, then why would he say anything?
You wouldn't have said a word. That's right.
You know, so I went and I corrected. So I thank God for that because our children are watching us. We are the examples. You know, we teach them. And so this is what I try to display. Do I get it all the time again? I don't get it all the time. I don't. But I try. I try because we do have, it's like we're always fighting against this stereotype, even though we shouldn't have to. But it's like we are. We're always fighting against this angry angry black woman myth, you know, that we're fighting against.
Right. That's right.
You ready to go to the topic?
Right.
Okay.
I'm on the line.
Keto's on the line now.
Oh, okay. Hey.
You got a man now.
I got a brother on up in here. Yeah, brother King.
What's going on, everybody?
Hi. Kenny is relieved. Bless.
Hey, Keto. We can't move on to the topic, though. Sorry, y'all.
I just kind of tail end what you were saying, Pastor. But you know, I have a thought about that phrase you said. You know, angry black woman. You know, it bothers me because for years, you know, black women were the strongest group of people, you know, that I knew. They still are. You know, black women are more resilient. They are more resilient. They make something out of nothing on a daily basis.
Come on, bro.
If anybody got a right to be angry, is them.
Yeah.
I mean, they do.
Wow.
But, and the thing is, you know, I've never seen so much love, compassion, you know, come from. That's not anger. You know, and I honestly think it's the media perpetrating. I mean, look at all the shows you see on TV.
Yeah.
You know, all the hip hop shows and the housewife shows. You know, every time two black women get together, it's a fight.
Yep.
You know, and why is that? You know, there was a story, I'm going to tell a story about when I was in Afghanistan in 2013. We got back, we got done with our mission, and we went back to the officer. We turned on the TV. There was absolutely nothing on the TV, and they're flipping channels. And I want to say it was Love and Hip Hop or something was on TV. Now, in my field, I am the minority in my field. You know, there's not many brothers that do what I do. So these guys, they're sitting there watching this, and these women are just going back and forth. Every second, third word is getting beeped out. You know, the producers of the show's in there trying to break up fights and everything. And it's probably one of the most embarrassing moments of my life when one of them dudes turned around and asked me, is this how it really is being married to a black woman?
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Because
and
that's all
that's
they
when, that's he when
caught a
it kind of opened up my eyes. It kind of opened up my eyes to what is really going on TV.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yes, it's about ratings because people watch this crap. But at the same time,
America's
you got a whole generation. You got a whole young generation of younger white people that think that's just how we act.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And that's why it bothers me so much to hear that phrase, angry black woman. It really, really bothers me. Because like I said, they're the most compassionate, the most strong, the most resilient group of people when you want to break down by gender and race that I have ever seen. Black women have been dealing with black men getting killed, black men going to jail. You know, black men just not doing right. You got deadbeat daddies and mamas just holding it down.
That's right.
So you can't tell me. You
Woo!
Can't tell me, sit here and tell me that these women is just angry all the time. But then even if they are, I think they got a right to be.
Why?
Just
that's
by the hand they was dealt.
That's right.
But that's all I'm going to say about that, because I'll get on this and I'll go for the whole hour.
Ooh, I'm about to cry, Mr. Keto. I'm about to cry. I'm over here about to cry. That's awesome.
Hey, that's just what I feel about it. Like, that term really, really, really bothers me. And I did not, I never really paid any attention to it until that guy, and he didn't mean no harm. He was just curious. You know, white guy didn't really talk about too many black people. And he asked me, is this how it really is?
That's smart.
And that was eye-opening.
He didn't know.
It
he
was
didn't
eye-opening.
Know.
That's
like,
right.
He genuinely didn't know.
Wow.
And that's why I don't look at that stuff. I stopped looking at it way back with Flavor Flav. I don't look at it anymore.
Yeah.
It upsets me now. It truly upsets me. But, you know, I'm going to say this one thing, and then I will move on, babe. Another thing about us as black women, we have always felt that we could not express our feelings because we just had to pick up, be strong, like you were saying, Keto, been through all of this, you know, so we had to be strong, kind of just put your feelings to the back, put them on your back and keep moving.
That's right.
And so, you know, it was like not getting the opportunity or not feeling as though we had the opportunity to really express ourselves, to break, to be weak for a moment, because and then we still go through that. It's like you got to keep going, you got to keep moving. People are dependent on you. You know what I'm saying? Your family's dependent on you. Your husband's dependent on you. Your children dependent on you, and you have to keep going. And it's not because we don't want to to have that breather. We don't want to actually release. Not, you know, but it's just like we
like
feel like we have to just keep going, and we can't.
Right.
And some people take that as us being angry or us being whatever, and that's
right.
just not the case. So, yeah, I could go on and on about that. So I will stop here.
Can I say one thing else?
You can.
They actually have a documentary, and it's basically it's talking about how now it is a diagnosis. It's a syndrome called the Angry Black Woman Syndrome. It's a diagnosis now they are giving black women. There
what?
Is a documentary on Netflix. You can watch it. It's called the Angry Black Woman Syndrome.
Shut up.
You know I'm about to go add that to my watch.
I'm about to right now. I'm about to log in now to my Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
That, wow.
Oh, my God.
They have given us a syndrome now for it.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Lord have mercy. We would definitely return to this conversation. Yes,
definitely, please, Pastor, because that right there just touched the nerve that they want to give it a syndrome, but yet still want to say that our young brothers and sisters that have grown up in these impoverished neighborhoods don't suffer
that's
from some
right.
sort of PTSD. You know what I mean? It's like, how does that work? You know, we'll give you this diagnosis just because it demeans you as a race, but we won't give you the other one just because it may help somebody.
That's right.
So yes, I definitely would like to go over this topic at some point.
Yes, we would definitely be revisiting this. I definitely want to look at that. Ooh, okay. Ooh,
oh,
okay.
Wow.
So, we got 15 minutes, but we sometimes might go a little over to Friday. Okay. So, our Free Flow Friday actual topic conversation, we're talking about single pastors and dating. This was a topic that was sent to me by Janelle. So I thank her for that if she's listening. Okay, so single pastors in dating. First question, do you all think that single pastors should date multiple partners? Is that a bad look?
Yes, it is. It is. You said single pastors. Let me get this straight. Single pastors should date.
Should they date multiple partners?
No. No. That's temptation waiting to happen. That's the fall of mankind waiting to happen. You know, that's giving off the wrong example to your flock. That's definitely spiritually unethical. And I'm just going to keep it 100 with you on that. Willie Moe Jr. ain't trying to steal your phrase, bro. But that right there is just, that's just like me coming into the church. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I got a different mate that I'm dating, and we kicking it.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to the movies, and I'm selfieing us at the movies, at Red Lobster, Cheesecake Factory, whatever, you know, because, you know, some people like to just do a bit when they out there. They like let everybody know their business. Facebook is like, let me know your business stuff. But I digress. But the thing is, you're on a platform to where you are out here teaching and preaching the word of God. The word clearly tells us that he that finds a wife finds a good thing, plural, right? He that finds a wife. I mean, singular. Lord, forgive me. I've been out of school for a long time, Lord. I need English composition. Praise him, Lord. Thank you, baby, for correcting me on air.
Real quick.
No, hey. I appreciate it. See, that right there, me, that goes to show you that me and my wife had that type of relationship. She can correct me on that, and I can laugh it off.
Please laugh it off. That was fun. That was fun.
We good. But I honestly think seriously that there's this negative and condescending view of a pastor that does that, and it's just no.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. What? Okay. Anybody else? Single pastors. You said no.
I do not think it is wise. I was born and raised in the church, and one thing I remember when I was smaller, and I'm pretty sure it still goes on now, when I was younger, if there was a young pastor, there was a young pastor in our community at the time before I was married. And, you know, a lot of young girls, you know, he'd go to church and preach, and then, you know, it'd be a whole lot of shouting, you know, a lot of stuff going on. He was single and just keeping it real. And everybody had to shout, you know, that night when it come to revival and stuff. And I remember he had a group of pastors, and one was mine. As well, went and he told him, you know, you need to get married. And that was because, you know, like, you know, Kenny, like you were saying, you know, so he wouldn't be set up to fall. So there would be nothing. Now, he may have been dating at the time, but I know when I was younger, they would encourage, if you were not married, they would encourage, you know, especially especially the male pastors, you know, they would encourage him, you know, hey, you need to get married fast, you know, because of, you know, and I don't know, you know, that young guy, he did get married, he did, a beautiful woman of God, you know, I believe she was truly sent, but I know when I was younger, they would tell them, you know, you need to find somebody and get married, you know, almost like, you know, and the marriages, you know, they lasted, you know what I'm saying, but it was almost like an emergency. You're going into the ministry and you're single, they were encouraging the young pastors, please go get married, just so it would, you know, fend off the women in the church, so he wouldn't fall, you know what I'm saying? You know, it was like a preventative type thing before they got any further into the marriage. So into the ministry, and I saw that a lot when I was young, encouraging them to get married quickly, so...
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and I wonder if they still encourage that like that these days.
Right.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of
that. There are some churches that still do it. And the first thing they'll say is they'll go back to the Bible where I believe it was Paul that said that it's better for a man to be married than to burn in love, or you're right. And I'm paraphrasing y'all, but
that's right. Right.
What really, you know, the one thing that really used to get a lot of people to stumble is if you get her pregnant, you better marry her. that right there in itself was even something that was letting people know, hey, you can have sex now and that, but you get her pregnant.
Right.
You better marry.
Right. Yep.
And I'm like, no,
yep.
that you know, premarital sex, that's
right. Nope.
The fall. And granted, hey, don't get me wrong, y'all. I feel before I even got married, I was out there. You know what I'm saying? I was the worldly Kenneth. You know, so I'm not acting like I'm perfect. I'm speaking real. I'm keeping it real. Like, but
real.
The thing is, if you have Christian parents in the church that are trying to raise godly Christian children that have never had sex, ain't sexually active, don't be out there telling them that stuff. If you get a pregnant boy, you better marry her. Because you don't need to be in no single parent home trying to raise a kid. No, you tell her, look, y'all wait until marriage, you know what I'm saying? And you know, we understand that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But wait.
Amen.
Wait, you know.
But, you know, in some cases they don't wait, but we don't want them to get in marriages that are not, we're not out of love either.
Right.
Were you about to say something, Lily?
I, you know,
no.
Okay.
I have something I lived through experience. A pastor that I grew up under, he had a wife, and she passed away. And then it was, I think the women maybe gave him a month before, you know, they were running over to his mm-hmm. house, bringing him dinner,
wow.
you know, all the time trying to take care of him the way that his wife did. And so then mm-hmm. he began dating multiple women. There was about 11 women within the church that he was dating because he was trying to figure out which one was going to be his next wife.
Oh my goodness.
This is the reason why dating multiple women is so wrong, because now he's dating all these women, and then the women let him know, quite a few let him know, if you don't choose me to be your wife, I'm leaving the church.
Oh,
and
wow.
one that he did not choose, they did leave the church. But also, there were two women who actually, they had to be put in the mental institution because they lost their minds. Because, you know, they were doing so much for him. They were taking care of him. Oh, here, let me help pay your mortgage payments. You're grieving, so let me do this. Oh, you need a new car. Let me do this. You need new robes, you know. And they were taking care of him. And they felt like, okay, well, he sees me. I'm his every Wednesday night, you know. So they felt like this man was truly so in love with them. Then when they did not get chosen, they were embarrassed. And they just couldn't handle everything that came along with it, and literally, they would. We there was two of them had to be checked into a mental institution.
That's crazy.
Like that's a lot to be dating all of women. Period. If you're a pastor, and then you're dating them in the church. I mean, in your church.
That's a lot for any man. Period. Pastor or not, that's a lot to keep up with. But his object, you know, he felt like, okay, I got to hurry up and get married quick after his wife died. You know, within a year, he wanted to be married again. But that was just because, number one, he was having affairs already with the women. He needed to kind of be covered up, you know, of what he was doing still.
Yeah. But
he was rushing within that year to try to hurry up and get married again.
Wow. Oh my
and
God.
It destroyed the church. So I hope that when he got married, when he chose the woman that he did, it destroyed the church. The church fell apart. So many members left. There weren't too many that stayed. People were mad because, well, you were dating my aunt or you were dating my mom, and you didn't choose her. So then, you know, people would leave, or, you know, it was horrible.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That is
so that causes a lot of problems. So I definitely think that dating multiple women at one time would definitely be an issue. Or for a pastor, if you are you know, call yourself seriously. I don't know. I guess some people may say, well, you know, I'm not married. I'm trying to see, you know, trying to test out some things, you know, whatever.
Wow.
I don't really think that's the best thing, no, which is important. While we do need to be in prayer and be in a position where we can be in a position where we can hear God.
That's right.
Because then
that's right.
People have to do all of that, you know.
That's right.
To do all that.
I agree. And another thing that I don't really agree with is, you know, people in the church trying to play hookup with somebody. Let people find who they want to be with on their own.
Right?
Yeah. Because you see it all the time. Well, I think y'all would be good together. Y'all sung that solo so good. Y'all did that duet so good together.
Yep.
Right.
Or God told me he should be with this woman.
But you shouldn't be trying to set him up, because the word clearly says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. right?
Right.
That's what the word say. Now that's what the Bible say. Mm-hmm. All right. But you know, you have people playing love connection to church, and then that causes problems.
That's right.
But you know, that's right. Big Dope, you on the air, brother? How you doing?
I'm all right. How y'all doing?
Man, we good, man. Good to hear you calling in, bro. How you been?
Oh, I'm all right, man. Sorry I'm calling in. I actually, you know.
Man, you ain't got to apologize, man. We know life happens, bro. You good.
good.
That's inevitable, but that's something we cannot stop right there.
No, that's right.
But the family good? Everybody doing good, man?
Yeah, everybody good.
That's good, man. We looking forward to seeing y'all in a few months, man. And you know, as always, bro, your line open, man. So feel free to share our topic, which I'm sure you saw. But, man, we covering this single pastors and dating. But, man, I'm going to tell you, this topic here getting juicy, man. I think my wife might see on the Tuesday. I don't know.
I have a question for the men. You know, Kenny, Keto, hey, Doe. Okay,
hey.
So talking about pastors, you know, dating multiple women, whatever, and like you were saying, Lily, in that situation, you know, this pastor was dating all these women, trying to see which one he wanted, whatever. Okay, so how did you guys know when you all realized that we were your wives? Mm-hmm. Was there any question, or was it something you automatically knew, or did you feel like you need to date other women first? I mean, how does that work?
Well, I felt this tingle in my big toe and my eye twitch. No, I'm playing. I just felt it in my heart, baby. I just knew you were the one. I knew you were the one, honey. I mean, you know, just the way you was talking on that phone, and you was going off, and you put my headphones down and said, you know what, I'm going on break. This woman here and got on my last nerve. You know that angry black woman syndrome show, y'all. I like that.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes. Is that Miss? Hey, Miss.
Yes, ma'am.
I was going to send you a message. I'm like, what's she at?
I had my pole class tonight, so if my husband wasn't allowed to date nobody, I beat up all his girlfriends. So that's how he knew.
Y'all laughing too.
I believe it though.
I was gonna say y'all laughing.
Because I know my friend.
No, because see, like we would be on again, off again in high school, and when we was off, I'm like, well, I'm gonna mess with somebody. Well, this one girl I was seeing lived right around the corner from her grandma, and I was on my way out there to see her one day, and then one of Jade's people was on the bus, like all in my face, like, mm-hmm, I know who that is. Like 2 weeks later, I find out the girl I was seeing got beat up. Jade on the phone talk about, yeah, your girl got beat up. I wonder who has something to do with that.
Oh, my God. Yes.
So is that when you knew that she was your wife?
I better go on and do this.
No, but
he knew that he wasn't going to be able to have nobody else.
It's bad.
In all seriousness, though, I knew when I joined the Marine Corps and I went to Japan. And we spoke a couple times while I was in Japan, but not much. And I came home. And one day I just called her on the phone out the blue just to check on her and Gary, see how they were doing. And that turned into talking every day. And then she came down to Virginia to see me because I was living at Quantico. And when I saw her walk around the corner at the Greyhound station, that's when I knew.
Don't know how I knew, but that's when I knew. And the next time she came down to Virginia to see me, I proposed.
Oh, so Doe, how did you know that Kim was the one? Like, it did it take for you to date all these women, or was it just something that you just knew?
Well, no. After we broke up briefly, you know, and well, I knew she was when we first met. We got to argue. So I had to have her. But then. You know, when I found out we were going to get married was, you know, after we got out of fussing and fighting out our sister, we broke up for a minute. That's when I moved in with Keisha. And, you know, even though. She had my back, you know what I'm saying, when it was up against the wall, when after I locked up and a lot of stuff that was going on, you know, like she was there, pregnant and all, she was there, you know what I'm saying? So that's when I knew I had to go on and marry the woman. And you know how that happened, huh? We just got up and went and did it. So, you know. But that's
all right.
What
that
So it doesn't take all of this extra then. So if you're a pastor, then I really don't understand why you got to do all that extra.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
You know, listening to the three of y'all, well, all of y'all were attracted to that feistiness. I hear that.
Well, I'm gonna tell you exactly why it took him that long. Because, you know, you want to be married again within a year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very, very short time to be comfortable enough with somebody to say, I'm going to marry him. Now, if I spend
that's
3 months with this woman and they come to the determination that this ain't it, I've already wasted 3 months out of this year. You know, that's not even including the time that I was mourning. So you say we waited about a month. Okay, so that's 4 months that's gone. I only got 7 months to go before I need to find somebody I'm going to marry.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, so now, do I condone what he did? No. But I see the logic that he was using, because I mean he was trying to be married as fast as possible, and he was trying to give himself options, and the way to do that was to see as many women as he could at a time.
Yeah, and to me that's just so selfish, though, because you're just thinking about what you want, and you're not thinking about these women. And their,
It is selfish. It's very selfish because, what she said, 11 women, you got 11 sets of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 of them is going to get hurt.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And there's only going to be two people happy out of that dozen, and that's going to be the pastor and the woman he picks. There's going to be 10 people that's crushed. You know what I mean? And
right.
It's guaranteed that I'm going to be happy. So, you know what I mean? It is selfish. It's selfish as they come. You know, like, honestly, if you really want to be married, you need to take your time and find that person. You know what I mean? You just don't need to jump in too quick just because of what the church say. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand, you know what I mean? You want pastor to be married, you know what I mean? So the women of the church, blah, blah, blah. But the women of the church are doing it anyway.
Right.
Right. That's right.
You know, so what is the point of destroying, you know what I mean, these 10 women's lives to send them to mental institutions and stuff when you could have just been a man about it and be like, no, I'm seeing so-and-so. It could have took you 5-6 years to get married again.
That's
nobody
right.
says you had to jump right back into it, but you.
That's right.
So it is. It's selfish as they come.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
I agree. You know, like we go to a church now that we've been visiting since we've been here, and we have a single pastor, and he just got through with the whole month of February. You know, he was talking about. He basically had different subjects about love, sex. You know, he talked to the singles. Mm-hmm. He talked to the married. But he said he devout. You know, at this time, he's taking time out. He ain't
mm-hmm.
dating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he said he's not dating. That he ain't looking for nobody. He working on him. You know,
wow.
Because he said just because you're a pastor, that don't mean your flesh don't get involved. So what he did was he vowed not to date. And until he get, you know, everything to, you know, like I said, he said he going, when he finally makes the chance to get married again, it's going to be with the right person for the right reason. Because he broke it down, you can't, basically he put it like this. You can be sexually attracted to thousands of people, but you're only going to love a few. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, like, now I agree to what you're saying. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can't just date woman after woman after woman because, you know, I mean, we just going to be real. We already know the first few months of any relationship, and you got everybody sparky, happy. I mean, you know, you got...
Mm-hmm.
You know each other. You know what I'm saying? Like everything, and that's what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's what it is. It's emotions. It, you know, you listen over each other. Blah blah blah. Well, the table
mm-hmm.
turns once you enter that relationship, and then the spark go out a little bit. Is this the
mm-hmm.
person you really want to be with? You know what I'm saying? So I mean, you have to take time and get to know people and. You know what I'm saying? You can't just be out here jumping around. And like you said, that's being selfish, really, because
mm-hmm.
women, you know, they tend to be a little bit more emotional than men. Like, their emotions get in there a little bit faster, well, I think, from my
mm-hmm.
experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you ain't going to do nothing but hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, 10 out of them 11 women, they going to be hurt.
That's right.
And when you do find that one, who's to say she the one? You know what I'm saying? If you just, you know, so I mean, I think anybody really, whether it's pastor or not, I don't agree with this doing it like that. But you still should take that time and get to know the people.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Hey, Keisha.
Hey, I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute.
Hey, it's okay. So do you guys think that there is a different standard when it comes to male pastors opposed to female pastors?
Yes, there is.
Yes,
I'm sorry. Can you tell me what we're talking about? My bad. I know I'm real late in the game.
No, it's fine. I know you had stuff going on. Single pastors and dating.
Oh,
yeah, we got started late anyway because we spent like 40 minutes talking about some else, girl.
Oh, Lord. Okay, well, dog, I'm going to have to go back and listen to the Cliff Notes on this.
Yes, there is a difference because if there was a single female pastor that was dating men, then there'll be all kinds of names she would be called.
That's
but
right.
If there's a single male pastor that's doing it, oh, he's just trying to find his good thing. They'll give him a little fly. He'll get a little pass, if you will.
The pass, that's right.
But I don't
single...
know. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say I also think a single woman pastor wouldn't carry herself like that either. Just based
right.
on how typical men are
sure.
and how typical women are, I don't think a woman would put herself out there like that, like a man would.
You know?
She
yes,
wouldn't.
I would.
She wouldn't. But see, here's the deal, though, right? If you
right.
And Well, what happened is, just like you have, y'all forgive me for this because it's the truth. Just like you have the elderly women that's chasing after that pastor, even if he's married. Right? There are those elderly men that are chasing after that woman, even if she's married or single. You know what I'm saying? So on both sides of the field, on both sides of the playing field, you know, it'll be a pass for the man, but it wouldn't be a pass for the woman. And then women would definitely have something to say about the pastor if she was single and she was going out with men. Even if she went someplace and she had a chauffeur, if you will, she had a friend that went with him. Somebody had something to say. Girl, she out there doing this and blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
They'll be in the church just yakking. But then if it was a man, right? They'll be in there trying to count the offering money or trying to get the pastor rid of. Man, did you get that, man? You got that? All kind of crazy. Because that's how some men think. Real talk. Look, this is a family show. We got to talk about real true stuff.
Right?
But the thing is,
that's right.
It's a different standard on both sides. And I honestly think that the man or the woman that's actually trying to pursue and find someone, it should be on their terms and not somebody else's terms. And but at the same time, they shouldn't be to the point of where they're just as pastors. So we're talking about single pastors. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be to the point of where they're going at Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday with a different person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or a different person every week or every couple of months. You know, you got to govern yourself accordingly. I mean, because you have to present a godly image, and that image needs to be clean and pure, because if it's not, then what you're doing is you're teaching your congregation that they can do the same thing too. And then for long, you're going to have a congregation full of one-sided families where they have woman and children and no man, or they have man and children and no woman, you know, and that just wouldn't be fair.
Examples I agree with that. And you know, like Doe said about the pastor at the church they're visiting, and you know, we've known ever since we've known Pastor Knight, he's been single, and he carries himself in, you know, in a presentable way, in a whole way. You're not about to see a whole bunch of you know, women and all that kind of stuff. And so you know, I thank God for that. So do you guys think, you know, like Lily had brought up the pastor that was widowed, does that make a difference when the spouse dies? If, let's say they do get married in a year, do you all think it's fair do you think that makes a difference if people are saying, well, that's too early, or?
No. I don't.
Exactly. It's based on that person, on when he or she is ready to move forward and let go. Because there's one thing about death. It's imminent. It's inevitable. You have no control over it. But at the same time, you have to look at yourself and say, look, I can't stay in this low place. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, my husband or my wife has passed on, but at the same time, I can't remain lonely. But you don't have to rush it. But even if it took them 25 years to find another person to date, can't nobody put no time limit on that. That's when he or she is ready.
That's right.
You know, I think that all people grieve differently, and we grieve in different ways. But also, we have to remember the Bible says we're supposed to rejoice when someone goes home. So, really, truly, I mean, it most of the time you see when people are grieving for years and years, there's something behind that. Sometimes there's guilt because maybe they weren't there when the person died, or they feel like they could have done something. But usually, you know, if they're at peace with their spouse dying, they don't grieve as hard and as long
You know, so, I mean, there's so many just different circumstances, and I don't think it's right to say, oh, you should be crying, you know, falling in the casket at your wife's funeral. You know, that people grieve in their own way.
Right, right. And there's different circumstances. You have some cases, you know, like with Marvin Sapp, Pastor Bishop, right? He's a bishop now? Bishop Marvin Sapp. You know, his wife had cancer, colon cancer, I think. So, you know, you have those cases where there's been a sickness, and then, you know, which may, you know, when the spouse dies, and they may already be at a place of peace because they're tired of seeing them suffer, you know, things like that, where it may be harder for somebody, you know, who's wife or husband or whatever died unexpectedly. And so, you know, it's just, I think, you know, that all makes a difference too. So, okay, I have one more question before so we've talked before about going on like these dating websites and things like that, right? You know, should Christians go on these websites? Some of us thought it was okay. Some of us didn't. Does that standard change when it's a single pastor? Is it okay for single pastors to go on these dating websites?
I don't see nothing wrong with it. I know people that go on that have been on websites and they find people. I don't see nothing wrong with it. As long as they handling everything accordingly and respectably, it is what it is.
Okay.
In all things that we do, we're supposed to use wisdom. As long as you're using wisdom with whoever you're choosing and who you're looking at, you know, especially a pastor should be listening to the voice of God that, okay, wait a minute, no, that's someone who's after your money. No, that person's lying. They ain't stepped a foot in church since they've been 5 years old, you know.
We live in a different kind of world now. And so, we just, you know, people date differently from when they did, you know, back in the day. It's just different. We have more avenues for communication, and so they just utilize those. And I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that.
Right. I don't think nothing's wrong with it either. I mean, because, you know, we do have to evolve with the times, you know. We have to. And I think the only difference, because if you think about it, right, when you going on a blind date, i.e. somebody then introduce you to their friend, and they like, hey, look, you know, I got this friend I think you should meet. Y'all might hit it off. That person can put on a facade just as quick as they can of catfishing you on the Internet. The only difference is, today's time of dating just has a www dot whatever in front of it. You know what I'm saying? But they could put on a facade on Facebook, Instagram, wherever these dating sites is at, just as quick as they can in person. And then you meet them. Y'all know these Lifetime movies tell it all. They be telling on the women. Meet them and they be like, so cute and sweet as a lamb. Then they say, yeah, you know, we go out a couple times. Then next thing you know, they stalking. So, I mean, it can happen. I mean, whether it's online or whether it's...
Go ahead. I think people always say, I'm not going to go online. I'm not going to meet anybody because, you know, you can meet some crazy people online. Well, guess what? Jeffrey Dahmer was not internet dating. People picking up women and killing them. People he met in person.
Yep.
So, you know, you just have to pray for the spirit of discernment. And if something don't feel right, then you just tuck and roll.
No, you run.
You get to getting, doggone. Sir, you know, I have a really bad stomach ache, so I'm going to have to leave you right now. And you just get it. So, you know, you can be crazy people anywhere. Trust me, I know.
That's right.
You're funny.
But you know what? Okay, can I add on to that? You know, you really can meet crazy people anywhere. The pastor that I was talking about, who, you know, dated all these women and everything, do you know that the one woman that he did end up marrying, he had to marry her because she blackmailed him, and she was a church member for the past 30-something years. So crazy people are everywhere. And yeah, she blackmailed him, so he had to marry her.
Yeah, you see, that's
right.
Why he got to be more careful. He shouldn't have gave her no answer.
That's right. And I just want to throw this disclaimer out there. When you hear me refer to the term crazy, I don't mean like mentally crazy, just mentally crazy. I'm talking about people that just do stuff out of the norm, abnormal, you know what I'm saying, that's just way out left field. I'm talking about the person that's in the stadium with their glove up and ain't nobody in the stadium. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about. Them people that do some things that's just out there. That's what I'm talking about.
Lord have mercy. Oh, my goodness. Well, I think it's important that all of us use wisdom, pray for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in all things. And definitely if you are in a position of leadership, you know, as pastors, we're held to a different standard because we are leaders, and people look at us, you know, as leaders, and they watch what we do, you know, how we carry ourselves and things like that. So it is important that we lead as best as we can. We're not perfect. That's what, you know, remember, we're not perfect, but we should strive, you know, to do better every day, all the time. To strive to display the, you know, the right characteristics and be that example. So in that goes in everything. So I completely agree with single pastors dating, male or female. However, even in that, it is important that they do, you know, use wisdom, you know, be appropriate in it, and be that example for other singles that are looking for mates, because we have a lot of singles in the church, a lot of singles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are getting lonely. You know, you have a lot of single Christians that are getting lonely. And so they, you know, the pastors, you know, that are dating or whatever, it's important for them to be that example because, you know, we have to lead the way. So that's my little spiel on that or whatever before we go. You guys, please send us your topic suggestions. Please, if you have any suggestions, you know, send them to us, message them, text, whatever. We thank you guys. Thank you, Court. And this is a great show. I really enjoyed it. I did. And if you didn't hear the first part, please do go back and listen to the replay because we will be revisiting that very topic. So, you guys, we will. You all have a great weekend, and we love you guys.
You too. Love you, too. Good night.
Love you guys. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.